We are now discussing about the chapter 2, evolution of Indian banking industry and the branch banking. Previous chapter, we have taken the overview of the entire banking sector right from the olden days, that is 1990 or prior to that, even 1996 onward, or also even covered in 1969, certain banking practices which were followed by the banks. And thereafter, we reached to the stage that the mobile banking. So, this entire journey that banking sector has traveled is very interesting. But while developing these things, there is one more evolution too, and that is very much required to understand by the bank branch managers. Retail banking concept or specialized banking concept like industrial finance branch, personal banking branch, or overseas branch, or NRI branch, like that different concepts, or retail bank. So, like the different concepts have come and emerged during this period. Fortunately, you are the lucky one that you may get in any bank a job as a branch manager, and you should be well versed with the banking, complete banking or banking industry, development in the banking sector which has happened, and the concept, if you are a branch bank manager, concept is you are taking the responsibility of the people who are sitting in that particular location, and thereafter you are taking care of them as well as developing the business also. The branch banking or retail bank branching, particularly the manager's role, is very much important because you are servicing the mass community, not class community, mass community. And that's the reason it is very important to understand how the branch banking is evolved or what are the development took place in the branch banking. Because right from the day one, if you have seen, the banking industry itself has a concept of the branch manager. But branch banking, that is exactly things, maybe centralization, decentralization, what we have talked about, or specialized branches, what we are talking about. But the role of branch manager is very critical because neither he is a complete controller of the branch, nor he can isolate himself from the functioning in the branch. So, the situation is very tricky and branch manager has to balance both. That is why it is very important to take and understand what exactly the banking industry in relation to the branch banking, some guidelines and some hints to the future bank managers. I have added this chapter for better understanding of infrastructure under the banking industry as a whole. So let us discuss this chapter, what is the branch banking, how it is evolved, and the role of the branch managers. In the evolution of the strategic industry spanning over 2 centuries, 200 years, immense development has been made in terms of the regulations governing it, the ownership structure, the product, services offered, and the technology deployed. The entire evolution can be classified into 4 distinct phases for better understanding. First phase is pre-nationalized phase, that is prior to 1955, just 8 years after the India got the independence. Thereafter, second phase is 1955 to 1990. What happened during that period? This is the era of nationalization and consolidation of the bank branching. Phase 3 is introduction of Indian financial and banking sector reform and partial liberalization. This is the period which is covered between 1990 to 2004. Phase 4 is period of increased liberalization, that is 2004 till date, last 10 years. So, these for better understanding, one is prior to nationalization, one after nationalization, and third, introduction of this Indian Financial and Banking Sector Reform Bill, which is passed by the Parliament, and phase 4 is increased liberalization means technology, more and more use of technology. Current organizational structure of the entire banking industry is like this. The entire organized banking system comprises of scheduled banks, another one is the non-scheduled banks. Banking needs for the financially and excluded population is catered by other unorganized entities distinct from the banks, such as money lenders, then pawnbrokers and indigenous bankers, etc. So these are the active, these are the entities which are covered under the banking organization sector. Let us understand one by one what is the scheduled bank. According to you, scheduled bank means which is scheduled. It is not the definition. Definition is listed under the second schedule of Reserve Bank of India 1934. Reserve Bank of India has its own act in 1934, which listed under the act which is called as schedule of RBI Act 1934, and it is mentioned that the scheduled bank should have paid up capital and reserve of at least a half a million, 0.5 million. Then scheduled banks are further classified into commercial bank and cooperative banks. The basic difference between the scheduled commercial banks and the scheduled cooperative banks in their holding pattern. There is no differentiation as one is from the cooperative sector, another one is from the wholly owned pattern. It is not like that. What is the holding pattern that will determine whether it will be placed in the schedule, kept as a scheduled bank, or whether it will be scheduled cooperative bank. Scheduled cooperative banks are the cooperative credit institutions that are registered under the Cooperative Societies Act. Now, scheduled commercial banks, they account for major proportion of the business of the scheduled banks. Scheduled commercial banks in India are categorized into five groups that we have seen based on their ownership and their nature of operations. State Bank of India and its six associate banks. It comprises of the nationalized banks and State Bank of India associated together with the public sector banks group and controls around 70% of the total credit and deposits business of the entire country. Means nationalized bank and State Bank of India. The balance 30% will be distributed among other banks. So, they are the highest stakeholder, highest service provider, State Bank of India group and the nationalized bank or public sector banks. IDBI Limited has been included in the nationalized bank of group since December 2004. Then, private sector banks, which includes the old private sector banks and the new generation private sector banks. Foreign banks are at present in the country either through the complete branch or subsidiary route, presence of through the representative, or their presence is made by opening the representative offices by these foreign entities, foreign banks in our country. So, it is State Bank of India group, then private sector banks, and then foreign banks. Regional rural banks. This setup came into the existence in 1975. and to develop this rural economy by providing the banking services. The concept behind is to provide more and more banking services to whom? The rural folks. By combining the cooperative speciality of the local orientation and the sound resource base, which is the characteristic of the commercial banks, their equity holding is jointly held by the central government and the concerned state government and the sponsor bank in the ratio of 50-15-35. That means any regional rural bank is set up, state government part or equity holding is, central government, state government has 50% stakehold. Then other one, central government 50%, state government 15-15, and the sponsorer bank 35. Like that, 100% capital of RRB is structured. Despite growing in the geographical coverage and the number of RRBs operational in the country has been declining over the past 5 years due to rapid consolidation among them. There are no more RRBs are getting opened because of this technology development. Every household has to have one account. It may be serviced by brick and mortar model or full-fledged branch, or maybe a full-time branch. After full-time branch, only ATM is installed, where the business correspondent is deployed by the particular bank, or like that, these events are our mobile van. These kind of facilities are provided to the communities in unbanked areas. Naturally, the entire community is getting covered under this particular banking sector, and they are made available all the banking services. Despite the growing geographical coverage, the number of RRBs are operationalized in the country has been declining. Because of this technology development, they are declining. Because the stake, 35% stakeholder sponsor bank, if they have their own branch in respective areas, if they have opened, where is the necessity of servicing one RRB, asking them to open the account, open the branch over there? It's a duplication. So, it is not, concept of RRB is not getting populated currently. Now, let us understand what is the scheduled cooperative banks. Scheduled cooperative banks in India can be broadly classified into urban credit cooperative societies or institutions, rural cooperative credit institutions, then rural cooperative banks undertaking the long term as well as the short term lending, then credit cooperative in most states have three tier structure, normally primary, district and state level. Those who are functioning at actual ground level, they are the primary, they are giving the services. Another type of bank which comes into the district central cooperative banks, and finally comes to the state cooperative bank, like Maharashtra State Cooperative Bank or Punjab State Cooperative Bank, something like that. Then the concept come, or the group come, the non-scheduled banks. What is non-scheduled banks? We know what is scheduled banks. Now we'll see what is non-scheduled bank. These are the local area banks. They do not have any place in the schedule as per the RBI Act in second schedule. These are the non-cooperative or non-scheduled banks. Local area banks are banks that are set up under the scheme announced by the Government of India in 1996 for the establishment of the new private banks of a local nature with a jurisdiction over a maximum of 3 contiguous districts. So, 3 districts, they are put together and one bank is developed and they are servicing to these three districts, whatever the house, whatever the village is coming under that district, are getting serviced by these bank, which are called LAB, that is Local Area Bank. Local Area Bank aid in the mobilization of the funds of the rural and semi-urban districts. Six local urban banks were originally licensed, but the licenses of one of them was cancelled due to certain irregularities found in their functioning or in the operations, and other was amalgamated with the Bank of Baroda in 2004 due to its weak financial position. So the idea doesn't succeed. There are only four local area banks operating in the country, and they are not also functioning properly. Subsequently, what has happened in the evolution? The business segmentation. The entire range of the banking operations are segmented into four broad heads. Number one is retail banking business. Number two, wholesale banking business. Number three, treasury operations. And number four, other banking activities. These are, the entire banking is covered under these four trades. Banks have dedicated the business units and the branches for retail banking, wholesale banking, and again into the large corporate and mid corporates, etc. Now let us understand what this retail banking means. You have a separate subject called retail banking, but to understand by the branch managers, under the role of the branch manager, we have to understand each and every phase of or each and every segment of the banking. So in brief, let us understand what is retail banking is. It is whenever individuals or small businessmen are getting serviced and they have not a large appetite or they don't have large expectations also from the customers, and they know they are the household, they are the people who are the middle size, their appetite is not to spend beyond certain limit, so to service them they are finding it is satisfied. But services must be provided. For that purpose, it is the services which are rendered to this group of people is called retail banking. Retail banking activities which are identified and based on the four criteria of orientation, granularity of the product, then product criteria, and the low value of individual exposure. Corporate, if you see, there is a huge exposure in millions of crores of profit. But if you see the retail banking, small businessman, 10 lakh, 25 lakh, maximum 50 lakhs, that is what the appetite is. So, below certain criteria, the clients is getting covered under this area of functioning of the branch, that is the retail banking. Then, retail banking products on liability side, including all types of deposit accounts and mortgages and the loans and the personal housing or education, etc. on asset side of the bank. It also includes the other ancillary products and the services like credit card, demat account, and etc. The major component of the retail portfolio of the bank is housing loan followed by auto loans, because it is more demanding nowadays. And it is the requirement of the community, requirement of the people. Among the large banks, ICICI Bank and the State Bank of India are the strong focusing on the government, on the movement towards the cheapest channel of distribution of their product, which is vital for the transaction intensive of the retail banking. Very cheap. Certain services, only 2 rupees I will charge for one service I have rendered. For example, filling of the passbook. Only 2 rupees if I am charging. Or withdrawal of the cash. Only 5 rupees additional will be provided to you. Or else you can go to the ATM and you can withdraw it from there, no charges. But if it exceeds 5, I will charge you 15 rupees or 5 rupees per withdrawal thereafter. So these are the small and small amount. But for individual it is small. But for the entire banking, if you put together, it is a huge amount. So the retail banking business is more profitable than any other business. They are fast expanding in this business segment, and the retail banking industry is likely to see a high competition scenario in the near future also. The largest player in the retail banking in India are, again, ICICI Bank, State Bank of India, Punjab National Bank, Indian Overseas Bank, then HDFC and the Canara Bank. These are having their more shares in the entire retail banking structure. Rest all other banks have their share distributed, but it is very, very minimal. This is covered under retail banking. Now let us see what is wholesale banking. Wholesale banking includes the high ticket exposures primary to the corporates. Internal processes of the most of the bank classifies the wholesale banking into mid corporate and large corporate, according to the size of exposure that clients have. Various forms of the financing like project finance, leasing finance, finance for the working capital, then the term finance, etc. are forming the part of wholesale operations. Syndication services and the merchant banking services are also provided to wholesale clients in addition to the variety of the products and services which are offered. So in short, the difference between retail and the corporate or wholesale banking is nothing but mass banking is serviced by the retail banking, class banking, that is more value business, is serviced or covered under the wholesale banking operations.